Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Autastic.
Yes.
That's Kirk Smith over there. I'm Graham Kay. Kirk Smith, you're laughing already. What would I say?
I breathed.
Was there too much excitement in my voice?
No, I did the dad sigh right into the mic before you even got to talk. And I was like, Kirk, come on. Professionalism. Yeah. Professionalism.
In the early, if you listen closely to the early episodes of this podcast, there's a lot of Kirk going, and I had to tell him after a couple. I was like, Kirk,
too much realism.
You are being stressed into the mic too much. Talking about his son or something.
Too real.
He's like, all right, you're right, Graham. I won't do that anymore.
I take direction.
And you do, and you do. You don't have too much pride, and you get it. And then okay.
But I did it right off the top.
I didn't hear it. I don't think anyone heard it.
I'll edit it out.
You don't have to. Otherwise, this will make no sense.
In my defense, I just got off the plane.
You did. Kirk, to his own credit, Kirk just got off a plane. And I'm leaving on another plane tomorrow morning, so we had to record this right now. And Kirk just came straight from the plane.
Airport to the parking garage to here, and I stink.
No, you smell fine. You look fresh. Your hair looks puffier than normal. But
I know, it's really puffy.
Yeah, but it's fine.
I kind of had an all-nighter last night, so there's no product.
Oh, boy.
No product. All-nighter. Had a 6 a.m. flight.
I can't imagine what an all-nighter is for you. Two beers.
Well, no, I didn't have any beers, but we stayed up all night at a diner talking.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah,
no, we had a couple late shows.
Eddie Delseppe,
very funny comedian, another friend of yours.
Also a guy who will have an entire night of having two beers,
yeah.
Two vodka sodas for him.
And his defense, he's 135.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Two's a lot.
Pounds.
Yeah, 135 pounds, yeah. Oh, and another friend of yours, Brian Hatt, very funny comedian.
Was he out there?
Yeah, he was out there, yeah.
Man, he's the best.
He's funny.
He is very funny.
He's very funny,
yeah. A sweetheart.
Nice guy, too, yeah.
Yeah, my girlfriend and him like each other a lot. A little too much.
Oh. Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding. but anyway, so you had a good trip. You were in my native land.
Yeah, I was 8 days in Canada. I think I did 14 shows. I'm exhausted.
You were in Vancouver.
Really great.
You were in Vancouver,
really,
right?
Really great. Beautiful city.
It's so beautiful there.
Right on the water, and there's mountains. It's kind of like Hong Kong, where it like drops around the mountains. There's all these big tankers out there.
Yeah.
Really cool. And there's like 40% Chinese people. It's just like Hong Kong.
Yeah. Well, what happened is they all came over in 1997 when Hong Kong was part of China again.
Oh.
And all the money.
99, I think, right? Or was it 97? I can't remember.
It might have been 99. I think it was 97. It doesn't matter. But they were like, communism.
What's going
to
happen?
And they just went to like the nearest.
Took their money and left.
The nearest
free country.
Free country.
That would give them a visa.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess. I think it's maybe it was more easier for them to move their money to Canada than
to
Seattle.
Canada's a little lax, more lax, yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, those are all there. It's too expensive to live there. It's like the most expensive place on earth.
They're having an influence on the city, too, though. I was at the airport today. There's water fountains. So there's a regular water fountain. There's a kind of water fountain you can put your bottle in, you know, your plastic bottle to fill vertical. And then they have hot water, which is a very Chinese thing where they do like some Chinese people don't drink cold water because they think it gives them a cold. So there's like hot water for like soup or I don't know what.
Yeah.
So just it's great.
Yeah.
It's really great. Yeah, they're having an influence in the city, a positive influence. Yeah, it's great.
You said you were surprised how Canadian.
Surprised how
un-American
it is. Yeah.
Un-American it is.
Well, Canadians always talk about, you know, the American influence, and there is some, but considering you're next to the most powerful nation on the earth, you share an open border and the same language.
Yeah.
You're lucky you're not in Montana.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's true.
No, you got your own thing going on up there. I was saying the architecture is different. The roads are different. You know, the roundabouts, they do, obviously it's in kilometers and everything's different.
And they do needles exchange for heroin addicts.
The heroin addict needles. They've got
places they can shoot up in.
They've got, the trash cans have a lining where you can stick your bottles so the homeless people don't have to fish in there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's their own thing. A policeman stop me, and he's so polite. You know how fast you're going? And I was like, I don't know. I'm staring at the speedometer. 60 kilograms?
Yeah.
It's very confusing. Very confusing.
To be fair, my mom... Is that a true story?
No.
Yeah. My mom pulled that. When every time we'd go to the States, and she'd be caught speeding, they'd be like, you know how fast you're going? She's like, I don't understand your road signs. My thing's in kilometers. And they're always like, all right.
That's a good excuse.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did see this. I saw two guys getting a ticket. Both times, the cop and the driver were laughing. I'm not kidding. Yeah. I'm like, what in the world's happening here? Is this Mayberry? And you said, just laughing, like, oh, my fault. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
You said like a truck, like a pickup truck.
Yeah, they had a pickup truck, and a guy takes a left, and as he's taking a left, everything, there's like a giant piece of plywood and some tools, everything fell out. And like six passerbyers from the crosswalk just walk over, grab something, get it out of the road, stop traffic. I'm like, what in the world's happening here?
Yeah, society. And you know what?
And it's not a little town. Vancouver's a few million people. This is a big city.
It's over 2 million people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they got real crime.
I was impressed.
They got everything.
They have real junkies there, man.
They got real junkies. They got a real heroin problem. But they all confine it to one neighborhood. It's like condensed.
White people.
What do you mean?
it seems like every drug addict that's always white.
Yeah, a lot of white. Yeah.
I can say that because I'm white, but yeah.
Or natives.
I saw a lot of white strung out, yeah, heroin chic looking guys. Yeah.
Not chic.
I'm joking. Yeah, it wasn't chic at all.
No.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. They got a heroin problem there. But it's, you know what it is? It's the only place in Canada where it doesn't snow. So if you're a homeless person and you're Canadian, you sort of migrate there.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they have way more homeless people.
That's kind of what happens here.
Yeah, exactly.
LA has a lot of homeless people that aren't really from LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they can just survive off coconuts or something and sleep in a tent.
Well, sleep in a tent, yeah. Yeah.
But that's what happens, so they have a lot. But I mean, like it's a free market economy up there, but there is higher taxes. My dad would be very angry if someone called it socialism. He thinks, I remember I got sucked into the American like news and I was like, I called a Canadian a socialist country, and he's like, "That's not socialist. You sound like an American."
Oh, they're socialist. Yeah.
But the point is
taxes
like,
are higher.
Taxes are higher, but across the board, if you're not a millionaire, they're actually less.
Well, there's an interesting podcast by Malcolm Gladwell, the guy from wrote Tipping Point and Blink and all those other books. Mm-hmm. That he talks about. His podcast is called Revisionist History, and it talks about the ability to move out of your social class. Basically, yeah. If you're a bright, young, poor person, how hard is it for you to succeed?
Yeah.
And it has to be a lot easier in Canada. It just has to be because the infrastructure and the investment's there. Now, here in the States, there are pockets where it's like, oh, it's easy. But in certain places here, if you're down and out and, you know, and I don't want to plug another podcast on this podcast, but there's a good episode this week about Carlos, inner city kid. You know, basically, he gets some opportunities. His mom talks him out of it because she needs help with her sister. It's like a whole... Versus up there, there's more social. Seems like there's a little bit more available.
I know the reason why I bring it up is because I know it's helped my brother a lot.
Yeah,
my brother who's autistic. We didn't do the little rundown of the show.
Oh yeah.
My brother is autistic. Your son is autistic. My brother is higher functioning. He's an adult, and yours.
My son is what I would call severe. Like, yes. I don't know any. I don't think I know any autistic kids that are more severe, unless they also are deaf or self-mental retardation or something else. Yeah.
Right. I don't think you can say mental retardation anymore.
Can't you still say it if it's actually the thing?
I mean,
anybody
should be able to say it, you should, but I don't know if you can.
People get upset. If you've listened this long, 10 minutes in, you probably allow me to say it.
Yeah. But anyway, this is the Comedian's Guide to Autism, and every week we do a week in review, and that was our week in review. The Kirk did his week in review, and I tied it in a little bit to autism with my brother because I know that he benefits from a program called, which is technically a private program, but gets a lot of public funding called Live, Work, Play, you know, and I know the government gives him a little bit of money, which has helped us
That's great.
A lot. So whatever, you live where you live and you can't move
But we can continue to advocate to make changes to where we live.
This is the point. Exactly. 100%. No one's saying America, if you live in America, should become Canada. America is a great country, but there are small changes specific to disabled people that need, in my opinion, in this country, to be changed. I can say that it is behind here.
Yeah.
And
well, that's what makes America great, is we're willing to change. We're not stuck in the Stone Age.
I will agree 100%.
Yeah.
I will agree 100%. Who would have thought? What other country could have had slavery than, like, less than 200 years later, have a black president?
That was very unusual about Canada, too. No black people. At least in Vancouver. Six people.
That's Vancouver. Vancouver doesn't
have... Black cats, black birds, no black people.
No. Yeah. There's literally... But they're so... they want to prove that they're not racist. So right. if you're a black person there, we both know an American comedian who lives there, black guy, and he's a king.
He does very well.
He rules that town.
I did have something funny happen to me after a show.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of autism material, just even though it's not a benefit and I'm just doing it to regular people, but I'm talking about my life. This is my experience. And some girl comes up after the show and is like, I really liked that. I want to buy your book. Oh, okay, great. You know what you should do? Just start talking. You know, you should try to get on this podcast about autism. I can't remember what it's called, but it's by Graham Kay and Kirk Smith. And I just stared at her. I'm waiting for the light bulb to go off, nothing. And then I'm like, my name's Kirk Smith. She's like, oh, right. I'm like, this oh my gosh.
Random person who
people
watched the show.
People don't pay attention at all.
No. No. Yeah, they don't. The host said your name. I mean,
I was up there 25 minutes.
Said your name after you
said
left.
Said it when I left.
Yeah.
I probably said it to her. My name's Kirk. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Kirk Smith's a pretty common name, but Kirk Smith is talking about autism. Not that many.
No. That's hilarious.
You should get on Graham King Kirk Smith's podcast.
It shows that we're out there.
We're definitely out there.
That's one of the things I took from that. I was like, oh, sweet. People
have no idea what we look like, though.
Yeah, I know. I got that sweet animation. Let's go into in the news.
In the news.
In the news is pretty cool. So Pokemon is like,
it's blowing up, man.
Yeah, it's like the new Snapchat times a million. It's
like what girls were for us in our generation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's crazy. Pokemon Go. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of it if you haven't. I mean, I only found that about like 5 days ago.
It only came out 7 days ago, so take it easier yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's like, it's an app you download, and then you walk around the city. It uses Google Maps, and it makes you search for things. And then there's like little, if you look through your phone, and the phone projects through the camera, so you're looking at the street through your phone, and there's like a little like bug or guy, animated animal floating around, and you gotta get him, and you collect them, and then it's like you make a big farm, I guess, or something. Anyway, Pokemon was huge when I was like a kid, like when I was probably 2 years too old to really get enveloped in it.
Right.
But when I was a kid, I remember the nerds loved Pokemon. The kids who were a couple years younger than me loved Pokemon. And now it's like the biggest thing in the world. It actually surpassed pornography in internet popularity.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Past pornography.
Somebody beat out the scourge that is pornography. And that person is autistic.
That's true.
The guy who invented Pokemon.
You were telling me that.
Yes, he is.
Somebody sent you an article. How did you? What was the deal?
I think one of our listeners posted it on Instagram that the guy is autistic, and I just looked into it a bit, and it's a pretty interesting story. I like a lot. What is his name? He's Japanese, obviously. Satoshi Tajiri. I think.
Thank God you read that, not me.
Satoshi. I'm pretty sure it's Satoshi, I'm going to guess. Tajiri. As a child, he was referred to as Dr. Bug because he was extremely fixated on bugs.
Love it.
A lot of our listeners know, your kids or whatever, they pick something.
Yep.
And it's
a lot of kids' trains or, Yeah.
My Peter,
I love that.
My brother Peter
from now on.
He loved trains for a bit. But anyway, this guy loved bugs. And he created one of the most popular video game franchises in the world. It's only second to Super Mario Brothers, which is
crazy.
Pretty insane. Basically, he based it on his childhood fascination with bugs.
Perfect.
So he had write what you know, what they say.
That's it, man.
It's just one day he was like, saw two kids playing with their Game Boys and they were linked, and he said that he imagined bugs crawling across the link cable, and then the idea of Pokemon was born. And the rest is history. And it just seems like Pokemon won't go away. Like every 5 years, there's a new Pokemon craze.
I'm finally going to get into it, I think.
And this one is bigger than the last.
I downloaded it.
Revolutionary. This platform is revolutionary. It's going to change how people play video games. Anyway.
Well, it's getting them outside, right?
It is. That's one good thing. I mean, a lot of them are getting hit by cars, but whatever. so he was diagnosed with Asperger's, which may or may not still exist. Satoshi.
It's like Pluto.
Yeah, exactly.
It definitely exists. We can change the labels if we want.
Yeah. Anyway, he's been described by Nintendo officials as exceedingly creative, but recluse and eccentric.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
We have a two in the news this week. Yeah. So this is a related article from today.com. I think it's based on the logo, unless they're ripping it off. It's based on the TV show. And the title is How Pokemon Go Sparked a Quote-Unquote Miracle Transformation in a Boy with Autism.
So an autistic person created a game
platform
that helped another autistic person.
Right.
Cool.
Love it.
Cool.
Paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't read the whole article, but basically Pokemon Go craze has been linked to car crashes, like you said, grim discoveries, and even reports of people falling off cliffs. But the wildly popular game has also led to a beautiful awakening in a six-year-old boy named Ralphie. Ralphie Koppelman, I'm not sure, Koppelman? Could be. I don't know. Has autism disorder and hyperlexia.
Kirk, not good with English names.
Names, yeah, English names. Spanish names, I'm all on board. French names, I'm fine. Italian names, I'm fine. English stuff doesn't make any sense. He struggles socially and usually doesn't make eye contact with strangers, has difficulty holding conversations, and panics when his routine is changed. But playing the game for the first time unlocks something special inside him. And within minutes of starting to play the game, his parents were thrilled and shocked to see him laughing, smiling, and even sharing high fives with kids he didn't know as he joined in the common pursuit of capturing those colorful virtual creatures. Bugs, basically, we just found out. They're bugs.
Some of them are bugs.
Yeah.
I think there's
a
dragon.
So I think it's great. Yeah. This is like basically anything you can, right? Everybody's looking for anything they can do to reach their kid to get them to interact with the outside world. And so if it's video games to get them to get outside and connect with somebody else, also setting up lures to lure these little Pokemons, then
yeah, great. And you're like, it's like the article says, it's nice that they're connecting. They're connecting with other people their age and they're sharing something and it's like real. And they know this autistic child, this child who has autism knows that he is connecting on a real way. No one's compromising. Everyone's pumped.
I think the human experience is one where you want to feel like you're involved, right? We're still very tribal.
100%.
So you want to feel like you're in the game. That's why sports still work. People want to feel like they're part of the team.
Yeah.
They're, you know, I'm on the red blue. I'm on the blue team. Okay.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, it's all meaningless. But you feel like you're part of the village or the group, and so this allows you to be part and, you know, keep your score or whatever. I don't know what exactly the Pokemon's, but to be part of the.
Yeah, we sound like we're 50.
I am 50. Oh wait, what do I tell people? I am 40.
Yeah.
No, I think it's great. I'm excited. To be honest, I would count this as a win if I could get my son to do this. Maybe we'll try.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
What do you think? You think Peter would be interested in this at all?
No.
Okay.
I think he... I mean, we could try, but...
Does he have a cell phone?
He doesn't have a smartphone.
Okay.
That's another battle. Trying to get him a smartphone.
For another day.
Yeah.
You know, but something like this, and I'm not saying this is the one, but these apps where it's like something specific gets people pulled in, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah. It might be interesting. I just don't think... Like, he would need a lot of... prodding and a lot of training. He'd find it confusing. He would feel uncomfortable.
I find it confusing. Yeah, so he'd be a good company.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd worry about him walking around the town.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean? Because Peter can walk around alone. Like, your son isn't going to leave alone.
No, that's true.
You know? Your son's always going to go as an excursion. I mean, he could go with your daughter. He'd go with his sis.
Yeah, that's going pretty good, too. She's having a good time with him, and so... Yeah, we didn't cover that in this week's review, but she's doing good with them.
That's great.
The state's paying her a little money. She can come back with some money for college.
Kirk's son is in Sweden where he lives with his mother, and Kirk's daughter, who lives with Kirk here in Los Angeles, is spending the summer taking care of her brother, which she hasn't seen in a couple years, so it's a real beautiful homecoming.
A little heartbreaking.
Yeah, heartwarming.
Warming. That's what I meant
to say. It's nice.
It's nice.
Sometimes in life, things are nice, Kirk. You gotta realize that and accept it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can't always be a comedian. No, it's true. Sometimes things are just good.
Sometimes things are just good.
I had a good week in Vancouver. I'm telling you, it was great.
It was great. Things
somebody,
are good.
Somebody recommended I do my own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really working to get our name out there.
Yeah. You know what you could do? You could totally kind of sound like him. You could just impersonate him, too.
That's so funny that this
it's me.
Podcast is getting our name out there, but no one's connecting the face to the name. So it'll result in zero help in our careers. That's not like we're doing an autistic podcast, actually, but... I got a way to get some more butts in the seats. A podcast about autism.
The people, so they can tell me I have a face for radio. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay. So that's in the news. And it's time to do the topic du jour. Topic du jour is Kirk.
Topic du jour is...
Oh, did you have a brain fart? Did I just put you...
Contributions by people with autism. So the Pokemon thing made us... just wanted to take a minute to reflect, and I know we've glanced on this a few times, but I don't know if we've actually put a little list here. And there's a very interesting article by Autism Mythbusters... .com about
interestingly enough, are those Mythbusters guys? Mythbusters guys.
Mythbusters is even better. They bust the mist. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, nothing. One of them might have been autistic.
Maybe.
A little bit. Very high functioning.
Obviously.
Yeah.
The guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. We both have very good autistic dar.
Well, a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Plus, we're in comedy, which, to be honest, is like a third of the comedians, I swear.
There's a third, yeah.
So this list isn't all-inclusive, but it talks about the specific things that these people did that why people think they're autistic. You know, this guy did this. Starts with Albert Einstein. Had difficulty with social interactions, had tactile sensitivity, was very intelligent, yet found his language difficult at times and had difficulty learning in school.
We would not have Albert Einstein if people could test their fetus and then decide if they want it or not, or genetically engineer it before the fetus would ever. You know what I mean?
If you do,
it's like that's going to start happening, and there's nothing we can do to stop
that's
it.
That's like the
and
nightmare scenario.
It's going to change society for the worst. We've talked about this before, but I'm scared.
That's the nightmare scenario. Like people pick people that. Kind of built like me, but handsome, like 6'2", blue eyes, but really dumb.
Yeah.
Not good.
It's going to be a bunch of like Lorenzo Lamases walking around.
Yeah, a bunch of Fabios. Mm. I don't know if the world needs more than one Fabio.
I don't know if anyone's going to want Fabio, but you know what I mean.
Well, Fabio's like 6'2", blonde.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
The women who are attracted to Fabio can no longer bear children, so you don't need to worry about that.
Good, fair point.
Yeah.
Graham Clark, very funny comedian up in Vancouver, read this book about Fabio on stage. Anyway, I can cut this part. it was pretty funny, though. Fabio wrote a book. Okay, I'll cut this. Albert Einstein. Right, so Albert Einstein.
You don't have to cut that.
It was just very weird. He's like, he pulled up a book on Fabio and read it, and it was the weirdest. Anyway, we can cut that. Next person on the list. Amadeus Mozart. Reportedly had condensing a long article into like two sentences, but reportedly had repeated facial expressions and unintentional constant motion of his hands and feet. It was also believed that his very sensitive hearing and intense sounds made him physically sick. Excuse me, I've had a long day. I'm sorry, I got up at 6 in the morning. Mozart's letter.
You usually are pro reader.
I know.
You're reading like me.
I'm struggling, dude.
Yeah,
I'm struggling. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Focus, Kirk. I can read this. The next one is Sir Isaac Newton. Newton was very quiet, not very good at quote-unquote small talk or typical day-to-day conversation. He was extraordinarily focused on his work and had a hard time breaking away. He was so focused that he forgot to eat during these times of intense focus. Anyway, and it talks about these traits very commonly found in autistics, blah, 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 blah. Charles Darwin, professional. Okay, it talks about Darwin. Who else? Thomas Jefferson, the speculation, because he had some quote-unquote abnormal tendencies, including wearing slippers to important meetings, always having a mockingbird that sat on his shoulder.
Well, he just sounds cool.
This mockingbird may have been an effort to keep him calm during social interactions. Wow. Okay. And Michelangelo.
Huh.
Very interesting. Anyway. Yeah.
Michelangelo, pretty high-functioning. But yeah, okay, cool. Well, I mean, obviously, we should not kill all autistic people. Anyway, that's been Autastic, everybody. Another episode.
I hope we changed some minds.
Yeah,
because I'm guessing you tuned into this.
Yeah,
24 like, minutes in, you're on the fence.
Should I slaughter my son?
Should I or should I not? You're on the fence, and then Graham jumps in. You're like, apparently not.
No.
Glad I listened to the end. If I had gotten to work, closed the door, and not heard the
and
end
again,
of this.
Obviously, as you know, it doesn't matter if your child is a genius or not. They're still valuable and amazing. And this is just an example of how autistic people make the make society a more colorful, interesting place, which I'm sure your child has done, if not to a bunch of people, to at least you yourself. I know that, like I've said before, my brother's made me a better person, and he makes people around him a better person. And I know a lot about The Simpsons because of him. So
no, I think it's humanity is like this beautiful tapestry or mosaic. Mm-hmm. And if we're all beige and look exactly the same, there's no mosaic. It's just wall paint.
Yeah.
It takes the little points of color and eccentricity to really liven it up and paint the whole picture.
I'd rather talk to my brother than Fabio. This has been Autastic. It's been another episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please go to patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic. For less than a cup of coffee a week, you can donate to us. $1 a week helps us keep doing this. We really appreciate it. We've had some a lot of really good people donate to us, and I want you all to know that you are valued, and we just appreciate it. We really do. And also you're probably listening to this on iTunes. Please give us a nice rating if you haven't already. Share it to your friends. It's still the old school telling people that helps the most. So if you could do that, we would love it very much. And if you could leave a comment, that would help us. So all those things would take you 2 minutes, and it helps keep us going. And anyway, we really appreciate it. You guys are lovely. Anything else, Kirk?
Please find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Graham K. Comedy, Kirk Smith Comedy. We love you guys. You can do it.
Thank you.